You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 220, Ethan Webb of MindSmith.
All right, find out the tales that you'll conceive. Cause soon you'll find the world in words you'd not believe. So tune in close.
Well, I decided to have a little fun with my music selection for this podcast. That little teaser was from a song that I created using Udio. It's called Voices of Insight. The song was generated using a simple text prompt. The prompt was a song about the benefits of listening to podcasts, melodic and warm. So let me know what you think. It's their beta version of Udio, and to be honest, I couldn't understand some of the words. But if you go to the link, you'll see the list of the lyrics, and give it a try. It's a lot of fun. I probably could have spent a lot more time on it, but there you go. See if you like it. I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. I'm happy to report that this episode is sponsored by NEDLA. That's the Northeast Digital Learning Association, NEDLA.org. NEDLA is a chapter of the USDLA, the United States Distance Learning Association. Please support my sponsor. So I had the pleasure of interviewing Ethan Webb, who's the founder and the CEO of MindSmith. MindSmith is, quote, a next-generation e-learning authoring tool that uses generative AI to make it easy to create and share learning content, end quote. We discuss Ethan's inspiration and background, MindSmith's competitive advantages, how they serve corporate, higher education, and K-12 audiences, how they engage instructional designers and learners. They turn instructional designers into course architects. We discuss the e-learning industry challenges and how generative AI is used for creating and sharing content. They can integrate with the learning management system using their advanced SCORM using the MindSmith Cloud, which is a new approach, which is pretty interesting. And they embed interactive learning widgets in the learning content. And we talk at the end about MindSmith's future roadmap. So without further ado, here's my interview with Ethan Webb. So Ethan, it's really nice to meet you. Thanks for joining my podcast today.
Yeah, stoked to be here. I love to hop on podcasts whenever I can. And I'm not like a thought leader, you know, like, but it's fun to be on podcasts nonetheless.
That's right. Well, you have an interesting sounding product. I've been on your website a little bit, but before we dig into that, you know, give us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to create MindSmith.
Yeah, my background. So I recently graduated. So I was an undergrad student at Brigham Young University here in Utah. I was not interested in going into like entrepreneurship, like starting a company at all. I was like going the finance route. I was like really into like ESG and impact investing. So I'd been interning for a hedge fund. I just had like some credits to burn basically my last couple semesters. And there was this really cool new program at BYU called Sandbox, where we basically got a bunch of school credit for starting a company. So I was like, yeah, get a bunch of credit, you know, it'd be fun. You know, I had a friend who did the very first cohort. So I was applying for the second cohort and he loved it. He like left his high paying job at BCG and was just like all in on his startup. And I was like, okay, this is cool. So I got into this program and the more I learned about like how fun it is to start a company, the more excited I've been. So I had been like interested in learning theory, like kind of casually, just like read Paulo Freire, you know, in the summer when I was bored, you know, but I was never like super into learning, even though, I mean, like my mom was a teacher or whatever, but it wasn't until I met my co-founder who had been in the e-learning space for about 3 years. He had kind of headed a global e-learning initiative and he was kind of telling me about some of the industry and how there were kind of these niches within the e-learning industry that hadn't been disrupted in decades. And so there was tons of opportunity for disruption. So I just hopped on calls with as many instructional designers as I could. I just talked to them about like what it's like using Articulate Storyline and Adobe Captivate, and started like learning more and more about authoring tools, and just started seeing so many opportunities for disruption. This was in kind of late 2022. And then ChatGPT dropped, and everyone was thinking about like, okay, how does AI change the workflow of the instructional designer? So my co-founder and I had built just kind of a basic authoring tool. And, you know, we're trying to like sell it, see if anyone was interested. And just in an afternoon after ChatGPT dropped, we built out like a super basic feature. It's like a just an API called a ChatGPT where you type in a topic and we generate the lesson, right? So we built out this feature. We pushed it to like Reddit and LinkedIn, and our new users like 10x'd, our daily actives like 7x'd, and like just stayed high because people were so interested in how artificial intelligence was going to change their workflow. So we've really leaned into, okay, what does bringing AI to an instructional design workflow mean? How do we help them create custom content? And it's just been a whirlwind of learning about learning theories and artificial intelligence. And we built this entire engine around gaining efficiency gains within the instructional design industry through an authoring tool. Yeah, I know that was maybe more than you were.
That's okay.
I know, I gave the whole story.
I've been quite intrigued with what's going on in AI. And like you said, it's just moving so fast. I also do a newsletter called The Good Newsletter, and I've started talking about AI and how it's going to help with the health and longevity, and of course with my podcast, how it's going to help in education, you know, here, you know, it's the holy grail of education is having a custom tutor, an individual tutor knows what you know and knows how to move you along. But it's funny that I hadn't really thought about the e-learning authoring tools point of view, because I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs and throughout my career, talked to CEOs of companies that built learning software, e-learning software, and what's new and so forth. But now that AI isn't here, I can really see it being important to as a helper to the instructional designer. So again, before we get into the weeds of how it works and how you did it, what would you say sets it apart from other e-learning authoring tools? And is your main focus, your main audience, designers, or going right to the faculty who might design their own courses?
Good question. I'm going to answer the second question first. We're primarily targeting instructional designers right now in terms of marketing and sales who we're reaching out to directly. But we are surprised at the number of organizations who say, Mindsmith is really cool, and we've always wanted to kind of like capture some of the tribal knowledge that exists within our organization already. And so they've started adding subject matter experts, adding licenses for subject matter experts, or sometimes even frontline employees to kind of help with in the design process, which is partially due to the AI, but it's also partially due to like we've been designing from the ground up and have been designing Mindsmith to be extremely intuitive while still like to be versatile without sacrificing intuitiveness. And so there's kind of this opportunity to in some ways democratize instructional design. I mean, we really kind of, like, I do think that someone who knows learning theory and knows how to design e-learning should always be involved in the process of creating e-learning, but it is cool to kind of bring other people to this e-learning table. So that's who we're talking to.
In the end, what sets it apart from authoring tools?
Yeah. So the biggest one has been the AI for a long time. So that's kind of our foot in the door. It's like we have built this engine around creating custom content. So the instructional designer can add context to the AI kind of in every step of the lesson development process. So whether it's providing some high-level instructions, like I want a quiz at the end, I want a test understanding throughout, I want a step-by-step of this certain concept in the middle, whatever, to more high-level prompts. So like specific definitions of terms, tone, you know, like learning objectives, stuff like that. We also have like a full outline feature where they can kind of tweak and fine tune, and we allow them to upload their own internal documents. So things like standard operating procedures, employee handbooks. We're seeing a lot of like maybe a tech for higher ed or K-12, it's a textbook chapter reading or lecture notes or something like that. So it's highly contextual to an organization. So that's been a really big one for us. We've also done some really cool stuff with SCORM. So SCORM has kind of been the bane of the existence of like L&D for a long time. So what we did is we hosted the SCORM package on the cloud, which opens up
Explain to my audience what SCORM is. Like faculty might not be familiar with that term. What
does
that
mean? SCORM is a standard that connects an e-learning authoring tool to a learning management system. It's most common in corporate learning, but you do see it in K-12 and higher ed. It's kind of nice because it's a workaround to LTI, which is the typical K-12 right. Higher ed connection, because we don't have to like go through, it's a standard. So we don't have to go through all of the like data privacy stuff because it's already contained within the file. So it's just an easy way to get into like Canvas or Moodle or Blackboard or whatever. But traditionally, it's been a really clunky system. It was designed in like 2004. So it's this static file that hosts all the HTML and all of the like assets of your e-learning course. So it could be like, yeah, exactly. It could be up to a gigabyte large, you know, sometimes even larger, and take, you know, like an hour to upload to your LMS or whatever. So what we did is we hosted on the cloud. So like, it only takes seconds to upload. It's dynamic. So as you change something in MindSmith, it updates in the LMS automatically. We can host multiple versions of the same lesson within one file. So like the file will read the device language of the learner. Like if their phone's in Spanish, we'll give them the Spanish version of the lesson. We can also like track things that don't typically get tracked in SCORM. So we can see like, okay, where a learner's dropping off in a certain lesson. We can get granular into like how they're performing on certain quiz questions. Some other tracking analytics stuff. And it also in the future allows us, because it's a dynamic file, allows us to call, do API calls directly to the learner. So if we want to bring AI to the learner, like in a more adaptive or feedback scenario, then we can do that as well. So it just kind of opens up a lot of these like dynamic features.
Interesting, because, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I helped to get Blackboard into our one of the universities I worked at back in the late 90s, and SCORM, I've heard of, but lately it's all been about LTI and connecting all kinds of add-ons, you know, whether it's textbooks or learning applications. It's all been LTI. So I wasn't aware that SCORM was that flexible. And I, like you said, I connect that more with corporate learning. I remember a lot of page turner type learning, you know, systems for corporate world, which were boring as hell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So SCORM kind of had this reputation of being like the worst way to connect to an LMS, but we kind of flipped it on its head. We do LTI. So if you want to do LTI, it's a little bit cleaner, obviously. But if it's just an individual like professor or teacher, then for the most part, it's already enabled on their LMS. So they can just upload it directly into the LMS.
So here's a good question. I think, you know, you've got an instructional designer who's been in the business for a long time, is an expert instructional designer. So how does MindSmith help him to become better? Or is it more for a novice instructional designer? Have you done any studies to somehow compare the how it helps a designer?
Yeah, we definitely see both. So kind of how we see MindSmith's role in instructional design is taking the instructional designer and elevating them. So like turning them into a lesson architect where they're sort of like guiding the AI and using their expert knowledge to kind of like tell the AI what their vision for the lesson is. So they're sort of like the visionaries for the lesson. And then the AI does a lot of the bricklaying work. So whereas an expert instructional designer in the past might spend a lot of time like writing the content, you know, like deep in the woods, like writing the content and building the interactive elements. It's like, stop, like do the fun parts of your job, the cool parts of your job where you're like talking to subject matter experts and meet, you know, doing a needs analysis directly with the learners, and let AI do all of the like boring bricklaying types parts of your job. Right. So for the expert instructional designer, like hopefully they're kind of clawing back some of their time that they can spend on more high level activities is kind of how we see it. And yeah. And then the low level instructional designers, it like gives them a good introduction into instructional design because it's an intuitive tool, helps them work quickly.
If a designer wants to build a, some sort of a, an activity, interactive activity, you know, there are a lot of authoring tools that are geared around that, the animations or different kinds of widgets that you can deploy. Does MindSmith have its own, or do you somehow hook up with the more legacy design tools?
Yeah, we don't have super robust interactive design. I would say if you're familiar with Articulate Rise, we're more similar to them where we have some like pre-built activities where it's a drag and drop sorter, maybe some drag and drop like matching style activities, some other interactives like accordions, flashcards, things like that. But as far as like super bespoke like interactivity, we added an embed feature. So you can embed like if you've built out something like super deep interactive in Storyline or in, you know, or in any of these other tools, you can just embed it directly into MindSmith. Kind of in our medium term roadmap, we'd like to, I mentioned bring AI to the learner. So right now all of our AI is on the instructional design side. But we'd like to allow the instructional designers to design an adaptive scenario for the learner to walk through. And so that will kind of be a little bit more interactive where maybe the learner is talking to a subject matter expert and asking questions or getting feedback, kind of like a tutor style thing, but it's more of like a gear, an activity with a specific purpose.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
What can you say about the current challenges that are facing educational technology, e-learning industry, higher education now, and how might MindSmith help to alleviate them?
The biggest challenge that we're solving is that creating custom e-learning content is really time intensive. And that's really it. Like, there are a number of studies that various people have done on it. And what it comes out to is like an average of $10,000 for an hour of e-learning content, which just like when I was doing research into this industry, just blew my mind. Like that, first of all, that it's that expensive. And second of all, that anyone would pay for that. It's just like, you know, it's just so time intensive. It's all these different groups of people, and there's the synthesizing process and there's the storyboarding process. And what we saw is a lot of that can be supercharged by artificial intelligence. And that's kind of where we've really leaned in. And then aside from that, it's all the extra things like the dynamic score just helps LMS admin, you know, from having to deal with all of these crazy SCORM packages and choose who gets what package based on their language. And, you know, it's all static. And so there's like this updating thing that helps kind of on that end as well. So it's like, it's kind of just bringing these authoring tools into the next generation.
Got it. Getting back to your audience again. Well, first of all, I meant to ask, when did you start business? It's pretty new, right? When did you first get your first customer and so on?
Yeah, we've been going since last March is when we incorporated. So
okay, so
coming up on a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the breakdown in your customers in terms of corporate? K-12, higher ed?
Primarily corporate, I would say. We have a few higher ed, so maybe 5% are higher ed. And then we don't have very many K-12, except that we do have a partnership with Stride, if you're familiar with them. They're a publicly traded company. They're an online K-12 curriculum provider.
Got it.
And they're really cool. So essentially what they were saying is they had a proprietary authoring tool that hadn't been updated in a long time. And they also had a really long instructional design process. So we built out a custom connector between us and them. So they develop all of the curriculum, or not all, but the vision is that they develop their curriculum in MindSmith and then port it over to their existing authoring tool for consistency of like look and things like that. And so we do touch K-12. The nice thing about like being an AI tool is that it's so versatile. Like we shine whether we're producing K-12 content or, you know, workforce learning content, because like as long as you're prompting it in the right way, you get output that will match your needs. So
interesting. Yeah, that makes sense that most K-12, the instruction is pretty well prescribed, unlike universities, right, where you have so many different topics and the freedom of, you know, faculty to do what they want. In the corporate world, then, as your largest customer, are there particular areas that are dominating in terms of where it's being used, like onboarding or HR, or what are you seeing?
Yeah, I would say number one is compliance. So yeah, a lot of organizations have like custom or specific policies to their organization for compliance. And so they have to make sure that the employees are understanding the compliance. So that's like, that's the go-to, that's the bread and butter of the e-learning industry. It's like, it's kind of sad, but there's a lot there. And then there's some soft skills. I would say MindSmith, people use MindSmith for soft skills quite a bit, but it's not really where we shine because there's a lot of off-the-shelf content for stuff like that. It's less like contextual to an organization. I mean, it can be, and we can like do some cool and interesting stuff to customize it to the organization. But a lot of it is, yeah, like employee standard operating procedure, handbook type stuff.
Yeah. Well, anything you can do to make less boring, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Sort of, compliance stuff.
Yeah.
You've talked about how it integrates with other learning management systems. Your audience, what would you say is your future roadmap? Are there any upcoming features or updates that you can talk about that are really exciting you?
Yeah. So in the short term, we're totally redoing our editing experience. So for a long time, it's been really static. And probably by the time this podcast is out, it'll be done. So we're shooting for the very end of March to have everything said and done and have it be default. So in the past, it's been very rigid. Like we've had a page that has text and image, and then a separate page that has an interactive element, separate page that has like a quiz question, whatever. What we've done is adopted what's called a Bento UI, which is essentially turning each of the elements into tiles that are fully rearrangeable and versatile. So now there can be longer pages that include images, text, interactives, assessments, all within one page. And that has really opened up the design possibilities with MindSmith. So now instead of having very like basic and kind of boring, to be frank, like lessons, they can be much more beautiful and interesting. And so that's kind of the short term. So within the next month is kind of the plan for that. It's basically live. We have to rearrange everything. Like we have to redo the generator and redo the assistant and redo how we're thinking about like we do text to voice AI audio. So we're finishing up all of the extra stuff right now. Medium term, I mentioned bringing AI to the learner is our medium term roadmap. So within the next like 6 or 7 months, is starting to think through, okay, how can we create scenarios? So like these different scenario paths with the AI, and then how can we make that real-time adaptive with AI? And then long-term, part of our vision is we think it'd be really cool to help turn instructional designers from primarily learning theorists into learning experimenters. So we think that AI analytics opens up a lot of possibilities to design learning based on like A/B testing in real time and finding out like what is resonating with learners and what, like how are they learning, right? And so there's an opportunity to do that. So instead of designing everything around theory, it's designing everything around like real-time experimentation. And I think that that would help like bring L&D and instructional design to like the larger table and add legitimacy to their roles and sort of turn them into almost a product team, is kind of how I see it. Yeah, I think that's kind of the long-term roadmap is like, as we're thinking through like, okay, how else can AI be applied to learning? It's like the natural next step is analytics.
Yeah, that's a good thing you brought up because heaven knows in higher ed at the universities, I mean, we're always talking analytics and how we can glean data that to help students, help identify students that are in trouble, you name it. So yeah, this has been very interesting. What just curious how you use AI in your company for your own work. As are the things you've taken advantage of that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, ironically, not that much. Like we're a really early stage startup. And so a lot of it is like doing things that don't scale, a lot of manual work, like
okay,
answering questions manually. Like we don't have an AI that like parses through a bunch of documentation that we have to like answer your questions on the website. For sure. So I'm not technical. My co-founder Zach has basically built the whole platform from the ground up. I mean, he uses like, if you talk to any software engineer, if they're not using AI, they are like way, way, way behind. And so it's like 10x his work, for sure, is like working with ChatGPT, and GitHub has a co-pilot, and there are a few other tools that he uses in his work. But for the most part, I'm just like, I'm emailing people and I'm on calls. So like, I don't use AI much. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I did see on your website, you primarily using ChatGPT, right? Version. Can you say a little bit about the pricing and how people can get into it and what the different levels are?
Sure. Yeah. We're built on top of GPT-4. And then we have different AI models for a couple other different things that we're doing. Like we'll pull in DALL-E 3 or there are other like text to speech, models that we use, pricing. So yeah, we have a free tier. So you can do a lot of experimentation on the free tier. You get 5 premium generations. So 5 generations with the GPT-4 and DALL-E 3 and all of the like bells and whistles. You can share 2 of those lessons. So you can put them on your LMS. That's the free. And then we have a pro tier for any like individuals, freelancers, a lot of professors, sometimes even K-12 teachers. It's $29 a month, so it's super cheap. And then we give a discount to educators and nonprofits. And also you get a little discount if you pay for the year upfront. And then we have a teams tier, which is built around collaboration and enterprise. And that's $75 per month per license. And then there are some volume discounts and stuff. Mm-hmm. We also recently have started integrating directly with LMSs. And so they pay us a SaaS fee to integrate with them. So it's basically a white labeled solution where their users would go in and say, create a lesson with AI. And it is a subdomain. So it would be like learning.lms.com. And then they create the lesson and it just seamlessly transitions stuff into the LMS. So we have some revenue from there, but I doubt many of your users are product senior product managers at any LMSs, but if they are, feel free to reach out.
Well, that would be a great source of income, I suppose, if you know, Canvas or D2L picked you up as an add-on. Yeah, that would be good. Well, this has been fun. It sounds like you've got an exciting thing going there, and I think I'm sure you'll be successful. There's so much out there and looks like you're on the right track. So I want to thank you so much for talking to me today and spreading the word about MindSmith.
Yeah, thank you. This has been great. We'll stay connected.
Very good. We'll do. So that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoy it. It's a new industry built by AI, and I'm sure we'll see similar companies to this, but I think they have a great start, and check it out. Also, stay tuned for the full song, Voices of Insight, created using AI with Udio. Until next time, have a great week.
Close your ears and just press play. All right. find out the tales that you'll conceive. Cause soon you'll find the world in words you'd not believe. So tune in close, you'll learn the most. Opinions as they discuss in waves of knowledge, perspectives vast, like friends in your pocket, in memories that last. It's not just sound, it's minds unbound. In your room or on the go, let the stories flow. Ideas ignite from every download. Hooked on every session, there's so much to gain. Enlightening journeys from your home domain. It's more than talk, it's your thought walk. Not beset betray, love's on my chains, it's buttered up plain. Much as we keep to be on my den, tell the wall hates the pain. Tell it beside of me, not teen in this, from erosion but fabrication.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of any other institution or company.